This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, automotive news reporter Nick Bunkley, a Kalamazoo native, discusses what Uber could do differently after the weekend shooting in Kalamazoo. But first, the month of March is just around the corner. That means that spring is coming. It's also one of the busiest periods of the year for college sports. And we are joined by Western Michigan University Athletic Director Kathy Beauregard. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. And also, excited to be here.
And also with us is Battle Creek Inquirer sports columnist Bill Broderick. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Bill, you have the first question for Kathy Beauregard.
Yeah, we're talking March Madness and basketball, but I like to go back to the football season because Western Michigan is coming off one of the better ones, and they're on a high right now with the best recruiting class for the third straight year in the MAC, coming off the first bowl win for the program and the Bahamas Bowl. Tell me what you guys are talking about, what the next step is for Western Michigan.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because it is something we still want to continue to talk about, and we are on a high from the entire season, which obviously also led us to the opportunity to play in the Popeyes Bahama Bowl. What an incredible experience for our student athletes all around, fans, community. The television ratings were extremely high for the game. And so I would definitely say that we're still on a very emotional high for what's happening in our football program. Obviously, we could not have been more excited about the first bowl win and have that trophy, but it was a chance for us also to wrap up a win over Toledo at the end of the season there and be able to truly celebrate the share of the MAC West Division title.
So are the next steps for this program? I mean, you guys are at a level right now where the last couple of years have kind of been in that same spot. I mean, you won the bowl game, so that takes you a little bit higher. But where can Western Michigan go from there? I mean, there's opportunity there, it seems like.
There definitely is. We would like to make, obviously, comment regarding Coach Fleck and his coaching staff. There were some opportunities for Coach Fleck to potentially not be here this year based on some interest that we had. And honestly, the exciting part about that was that we were able to have the conversation that he believes he's not done assisting us in helping to build the Bronco brand, bring the program, an opportunity to enhance it nationally and competitively around the country. The exposure that we received, certainly being the third highest ranking MAC recruiting class, certainly sets us up for what we believe to be an exciting year ahead of us. We're never done with setting new goals. There's no doubt we did put out the football schedule, which we're extremely excited about for this next year in being able to start out the year. We do this year play our couple Big Ten opponents, as we have done with Northwestern and with Illinois, and then a return of Georgia Southern this year, and hopefully a chance for us to get that win against them. And the MAC, obviously, is the most critical of those. But Coach Fleck did have to replace a few staff that had opportunities to move on. The chance for us to recruit new and change our best, as he says every day, and the chance for our student athletes to receive incredible accolades for this season really will go down in history.
So since you brought up the fact that P.J. Fleck had some other opportunities out there, that was not widely reported during the offseason. But, you know, recognizing that this is a Western team that a lot of people think could do some big things, and that there could be more opportunities then after this season, which could include some very big dollar figures. Do you, as an athletic director, have to sort of have a plan in place, or at least, you know, maybe not on paper anywhere, but at least in your mind about what I would do if P.J. Fleck is hired away next year?
Well, actually, we do that for all of our sports. And it's not like you could definitely open up my drawer in my office and see a name and a list of coaches that you may go to next, because obviously every situation is very different. Coach Fleck is extremely committed. What we have been able to do the last 2 years is to enhance some coaching opportunities with some absolutely wonderful commitments from our boosters that help us with outside the university income to be able to continue to enhance him financially. because we certainly know we don't have any more money within the university to be able to do that. So I know that there continues to be a huge commitment from a group of our donors and individuals that really would love to stay and see him here for a long time. And I think Coach Fleck certainly lives it by continuing to recruit and do those things. But we have the kind of season we believe we have. We know that they're going to be knocking on our door, and it is an opportunity for us to certainly look at ways to retain him. And if that's not true, or if we have to look at others, we certainly do have a list of where you go, what you're looking for. There's no doubt that in the past, we've had mostly coaches that have been dismissed, and we've ended up hiring. It's been always an honor to know that people want your coaches, but certainly don't want to lose them either. There's no doubt. But we are excited about where we are, and our student athletes could not be more committed to the program.
You mentioned that the schedule has been released. There's a game at Northwestern. There's also a game at Illinois. So two Big Ten games on the schedule again this year. Last year was Ohio State and Michigan State. You know, other schools which are outside the Power Five have been kind of debating what's the best way to schedule. Some schools are saying that, you know, taking on too tough a schedule might put you in a weakened position when it comes for bowl bid time. Is Western pretty committed to this sort of schedule where you're probably going to play a couple teams from Power Five conferences in your non-conference schedule?
That is a terrific question, because we evaluate our schedule, the process of our scheduling every year. And the one thing that's interesting to some is it's surprising that you will find schools that have schedules 10 years down the road. We have some games scheduled 10 years down the road. One of the things that's important for us for the image of our football program is that we have no problem playing the best. The other piece of that is when we look at the financing of our program and also the total finances for the athletic department across the board, the guarantees that we receive by playing those games are necessary for our intercollegiate athletics program to sustain, knowing that we are not going to be increasing university dollars over the time to come. So the large amount last year received $1 million from Ohio State for playing that game. The Michigan State game, as we know, was a little unique because that was a return from other games that we've had and will continue to have with Michigan State. But overall, it's our goal to generate at least $1.3 million with guarantees in our football program, and that's just a matter of how those games match up. The example is, do you just go out and find a team now that will pay you $1.3 million, but then how do you do the rest of your scheduling and fit that in? Since we are, for the first time in a lot of years, we're even in the Mid-American Conference now. UMass will no longer be a member in football, and so we are actually matching up a little differently from that aspect, from the scheduling in the MAC. Certainly are excited about a change in those crossovers this next year with playing a couple teams that we haven't played in a while. But when you look at, you're right, you look at the rest of the MAC scheduling, you will find some of those universities. Example this year, many were confused about our bowl opportunity, because what happens in the bowl selecting within your league is the contracts that are done from league to league, and they're really outside of the NCAA piece. The bowl system runs on its own with a little bit of oversight from the NCAA. But the way those games are slated from the beginning, the commitment is that the GoDaddy Bowl goes to the winner. In the selection of the championship game, they don't necessarily have to take the winner of that game, but at least we have to make sure that the East and the West have been covered first with their bowl opportunities. So when you went down through that system, you ended up with the number five slot game, actually, was, even though we ended up with the schedule we did, with the record we did, it put us in the number five slot. So there are some pros and cons to that. There are some ways that we're looking at adapting scheduling for the future. That do we look at just one large game for a larger guarantee? And next year, we're getting a substantial amount. I believe it's, I'd have to double check, but I think it's $650,000 from Northwestern. The Illinois game, some people have asked about, is a little unique. Originally, that game was slated to be here in Kalamazoo. about 4 years ago, they came back to us and asked him about looking into the potential of keeping that game in Champaign. And when we looked at the financial parts of how that would enhance us, we ended up having them really buy out the contract and then put a guarantee there. So we'll be actually, the guarantee for that Illinois game will be $1.1 million for us here at Western Michigan, which is a substantial amount for us to be going to a Big Ten university.
Yeah, yep. When the schedule did come out, there were some juicy names on there, and you mentioned them both, Northwestern and Illinois. And last year when you played Michigan State, I wrote a column that said that had the possibility of being a program-defining game if you guys can get the upset. And this year it's even more so. Illinois and Northwestern, while they are good Big Ten teams, especially Northwestern, they are teams that Western Michigan can play with, I think, if you look on paper. And if Michigan State or if Western Michigan were to beat both of those teams, you guys would be in the top 25 already. Things would escalate really quickly. That would be a great situation for Western in terms of how this program continues to grow and behind PJ Fleck. So talk about that a little bit, and then also talk about the fun game you're going to have with your former coach with Bill Cubitt coming with Illinois playing Western Michigan.
Certainly be happy to do that. The other part that I didn't mention before in scheduling that has changed, and that has been the last 2 years of the football college playoff system. And with that system in place, what you are doing to get ranked to be able to be in that game is playing a tough schedule and playing a schedule that will get you really an opportunity of a potential upset or at least the chance to, you figure, when we scheduled Ohio State, they were the defending champions from a year ago. Certainly, Northwestern is probably at one of its all-time highs when you look at where their season finished last year and what we know we have to do from that aspect. When and if we have those chance of being able to, you know, win in the MAC, win out in the MAC, and also look at the potential of what the bowl options are to actually make your way into one of those autonomous five bowls, the financial pieces of that are just unbelievable and great opportunities, similar to what Northern Illinois did many years ago, even though the same system wasn't in place. So we're excited about this year. The Mid-American Conference actually ended up taking, they keep track of the record of the bowl wins for the MAC and for each conference, along with keeping track of where regular season wins were and points that you get among the league. And the MAC actually ended up the second best ranked conference when it came down to all of that last year, which does also, many people may not always know this, but it increases our financial distribution from the college football playoff system, along with part of some of the other pieces of the puzzle in the distribution. So it certainly does give us an opportunity for revenue that is, you know, that's out there that are extreme numbers for us to look at. The opportunity that we're going to have going into Illinois and playing Coach Cubitt obviously is going to be, there'll be anxiety on all sides of that. There's no doubt about it. Bill played and competed here as far as his teams as an assistant coach under Gary Darnell for years, and then also has had a stellar career really with us regarding his time as head coach, with basically some changes down there at the end that led me really to make a decision in the change of the head coaching scenario. It's never easy. It's very emotional. We were, and I would consider him a dear friend along with his family. Obviously, the emotions of that are going to be weighing on both sides of things. Bill, sometimes when you make changes, you look at it and hope that the individuals are going to come out of it sometimes maybe in a better situation than they did. Some may believe that, and others certainly will be to the point where we wish him the best. Excited. Illinois was really lucky to have him there to be able to go to with the issues that they had. But we will certainly be rooting for the Broncos, and it'll be a great day in Champaign.
Let's talk about basketball for a little bit. The postseason tournaments are just about to get started, or within a couple weeks they will anyway. This is an age-old debate, but I'd like to have you weigh in on it. The Mid-American Conference has the women's tournament and the men's tournament at Cleveland the same week. which leads to some odd scheduling sometimes. There's been an argument that the women's tournament may get maybe not the spotlight it would if it were perhaps held a week earlier when they could play games in prime time, et cetera. What are your thoughts on it, and is that possibly going to change anytime soon, or are things pretty much set the way they are with these two with these two tournaments basically going on the same week in Cleveland?
Well, I can tell you that I actually chaired the committee way back when the Mid-American Conference chose to move the conference office to Cleveland from out of Toledo, Ohio. In that conversation, they lured us to the opportunity to increase the experience for our student-athletes to play in an NBA arena and a chance to be in a community that was going to commit to it. Are there some issues regarding the fact that some believe, you know, it's in Ohio, a lot of the championships are in Ohio from a MAC aspect, so you're really in the back door of the Akron and the Kent State homes, and even some of those being closer. If you look over the history of the tournament, you'll see that Western Michigan, along with Central Michigan, has had the opportunities to win there also. When we originally set the tournament up, it was not done to include the women there. And actually, that came back as a priority of the presidents of the Mid-American Conference, who basically said, no, we're going to be a little different. There aren't any other conferences that are doing it the way we are. That originally it was the Gund Arena back then, the Q now, and the management of that really wanted the men's tournament. They were a little risky at thinking that first year we did something a little bit different using Assembly Hall, I think it was there. There was conversation always about, do you put the women's tournament back on campus sites? Is that the same experience chance? We do have a multi-term contract with the Q now that includes both tournaments, men's and women's, staying together in Cleveland. And I think what you will find and see that, yes, sometimes the time of the games may not be perfect for everyone, but there are some great advantages as to having both of those together. We have had that experience where we've had basically both of our teams there, and our fans do love that and come and support one another. So I really don't see that changing. It's a great television market. It's a great venue to be playing in, and they treat us unbelievably well as a part of what their commitments are for tickets and all of the aspects of the tournament being in Cleveland.
Before we wrap up here, I want to note that P.J. Fleck has said that he wants to do something to honor the victims of the shooting in Kalamazoo this past weekend. The basketball teams were wearing a Kalamazoo Strong jerseys. Of course, we turn to sports as an outlet and it's something as entertainment, but of course, you're also very much part of the community. So I guess I'm wondering, as an athletic director, when something like that happens, what do you see as sort of sports' role in all of that?
Well, first of all, you know, being born and raised here in Kalamazoo and watching what this community went through, students on our campus, student athletes, family members, community members, obviously it's just something that you really never believe is going to, which is the wrong way for us to think, because it can be anywhere, anytime, any place. And I truly commend, when we go through these situations, the first responders that actually go out there and run into it when the rest of us in the community were watching it, to stay away from any place that you could possibly be. I'm such a big, what I also would think about with this, it's a little about our community concept, that we are Kalamazoo. Western is Kalamazoo. Kalamazoo is Western from that aspect. We certainly want to be sensitive that there's no doubt that sports many times does play a role, unfortunately, on the side of some of these things across the country occurring, but also sometimes in a healing process when the community really needs to, or everyone, have a way of healing. So my heart goes out to and our student athletes. We've met with them, certainly worked with President Dunn and the regular student population as we went through that. Coach Fleck and I have talked about ideas of what to do, and we really haven't moved forward with, you know, the football decision. But I think what we also want to be able to do is to roll into even the possibility of doing something to honor those and to commemorate those, even around our community event in the fall. So whether and we do, we'll see some more things coming between now and then. There is a place that unfortunately, we've been involved with this too many times. We played the first game of Northern Illinois when they had a shooting on campus and had individuals killed on their own campus. So our teams, our student athletes, and we unfortunately have been put in this situation before.
Western Michigan University Athletic Director Kathy Beauregard, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
And also thanks to Battle Creek Inquirer sports columnist Bill Broderick.
Thanks for having me.
There's a longer version of the interview with Kathy Beauregard at our website. She also weighs in on the possible future expansion of the college football playoff and the complexity of paying college athletes. That can be found at WMUK.org.